TJ.
And I'm Dan.
And you're listening to Season 2, Episode 14 of Crossing the Thames. This week we have some bad news, some sad news. Spurs got beat by Arsenal so badly that we have to now, Dan wants to quit the podcast. So this is our last episode.
Am I supposed to respond to this?
Yeah, I'm totally throwing you under the bus.
Well, that's okay, because the sad news does come with good news in tow. We're quitting the podcast.
It's just a coincidence that power is now restored back to its rightful owner, and Arsenal are kings of London. So.
Except that after the games today, we're still on top of you in the table.
Details.
We just like to be on top. What can I say?
Gross.
Hey, TJ. How are you?
How are you, Dan? I'm doing well.
I'm fine.
I feel like I haven't seen you for a while.
I think our last episode was three weekends ago, because we didn't actually do one last weekend either.
Yeah, but it's the international breaks, man. They totally screw me up.
Yeah, the international North London derby breaks.
Well, I honestly, on those international breaks, I don't know what to do with myself. I'm like, because I'm not going to watch these international games. You can forget it.
I watch some of them, but yeah, when it's like Azerbaijan versus Malta, I don't really care. Or
even when it's like the good teams, I just don't bother. Like,
really?
You got to find, like, what channel is it on? Do I even have that channel? And then usually I'm just like, well, I'll just go do something with the family, I guess.
Well, see, between ESPN Plus, which I pay for, and I will continue to, because for me that's the best value, NBC Sports Gold, which this will be the first and last time I ever pay for it.
Why is that?
I'd rather just go find a stream online for the three Spurs games a year that end up on that. Because I don't.
Such a pirate.
I mean, we'll get to this more in the future, but I really only got that for this podcast. So, but
as a 5th/6th place team, I felt that the gold subscription was really important, actually, for me being able to see my team play. So yeah, I figured
there was a little back and forth that happened since we've recorded last.
I know. Well, so do we want to say this now, that this is?
Yeah, go for it.
So this is our last podcast.
For those of you who have been listening, we love and appreciate you. And Brad, you suck, because you haven't helped us inflate our numbers at all. But yeah. Numbers aren't actually, considering how little we've worked this podcast, numbers aren't bad. We just have life. And
yeah, it really has nothing to do with the numbers, in my opinion. It's just like work commitments. You know, we're just. Dan's got 4 kids, for crying out loud. I've got 1, and I'm struggling over here. He's got 4, and then he does all the work for the podcast. So.
Yeah, I do most of the podcast, which has never been a problem. I've always enjoyed doing the work for it, but at some point.
But I bring the good looks to the podcast, so.
A face for radio.
A face for podcasting.
But, I mean, with my business, I've picked up decently. And not that I was ever that slow, but I could find time. Now I'm starting to stress for where time's going to come from. And that's a good thing, because I'm also looking to, you know, potentially hire and. I've been looking to hire for a couple of years, but I actually think
Brad,
I can justify
if you need a
it
job,
shortly.
Dan might have a position for you.
If I need 3D chicks with bouncy boobs, I will call you, Brad.
Like, that's literally what we think all Brad does. Like, that's his job.
You know, so he has this 3D.
He's like, guys, not everyone's supposed to know about
that.
Yeah,
this is probably more information than Brad wants us to share, but it's our last podcast, so I'm going to go for it. He's got this 3D. He does 3D work, and it's actually really good. He's pretty talented, I think.
I thought she was pretty cute.
Okay, but he's got this 3D chick, right? And so he does it, and then somebody commented on one of his I was reading, and they're like, okay, TJ just took a drink of water and made a face. So
there's something about Camino Island. Our water here is terrible.
Oh.
And depending on where the filters are at, maybe they need change. Like, that doesn't taste great. I'm going to go back to my emergency water.
Anyhow, somebody made a comment on Brad's post. Is like, does she have to be almost naked? Because she's got this, like, she's not almost naked, but she's got this, like, band around her
boobs.
You know,
I'd say, I saw it. It's summertime wear. It's hot in Australia.
I mean, yeah. I grew up in Arizona, I know. Most of the women get far less clothes on come summertime. But I thought his response was funny. I mean, it was made sense, but it was funny, too, is that he had to show that he had a knowledge of the female anatomy and how to make it happen in 3D.
Oh, for the project?
He wanted to. It was kind of like a portfolio item, so he wanted to be able to prove that he could do anatomy. Anyhow, that's probably the last time we'll talk about Brad.
He can do anatomy. Yeah. Now, we'll probably come up again later.
That's true. This will be the last podcast.
So speaking of work, I was with a VIP client down in Kirkland today, a celebrity in the sports world, actually. And
Is this the former Seahawks coach that you were talking about?
I guess you just gave it away. I don't know if it was top secret or not.
Oh, is that supposed to be? I'm sorry.
I don't know if it is or not. No one listens to the podcast. It's probably not a problem. But anyway.
I don't do audio editing, so.
So we were meeting with him, and we were at this great little breakfast place, and I got these Greek Eggs Benedict. So I had like gyro meat and feta with like the normal hollandaise sauce and everything. Anyway, so we're sitting there acting all, you know, business professional, you know, and my fork is just a certain way, and like my elbow hits it and it literally flips like this. It just goes all over my like my, so like I got most of it wiped off, but that's like I've got gunk on my sweater and on my jeans.
And how did your business meeting person take it?
Oh, you know,
did they notice?
So my boss is so animated and so kind of like life of the party that I don't think anyone even noticed. But you know, okay. I was sitting there like feeling, you know, like this big that TJ can't even like eat breakfast without getting it all over himself. Yeah, it tasted real good.
Yeah, good. Even off your pants.
What? Yeah.
Yeah.
They were clean.
Hey, I eat the food that lands on my pants too. It's still viable.
For later, yeah. Yeah, so that was my day. And then, since we've been gone for so long, lots of stuff has happened, right? Yeah. Like, we had the international break, which doesn't matter.
Germany got relegated in their group, and England actually won their group against Spain and Croatia, and Croatia got relegated.
So, good news for Spurs, I guess.
Maybe. Or bad news for Spurs, because our players have to play more.
Really tired, yeah. Then I flew out east to see my family. It was the first time I'd seen everybody at Thanksgiving since like high school, so that was kind of cool. Lots of driving involved, and then our daughter threw up like 3 times between all the driving we did, so that was kind of fun. I mean, you're
car sick.
Yeah, car sick. She gets car sick now. So we like started like, we think it's actually because she looks out the window and then like tracks things with her eyes and then gets dizzy and throws up. So then we start putting up all these windows all over the, all these blankets all over the windows, so she can't look out the window. But yeah, that was kind of what we've been doing instead of podcasting. So, but in the meantime,
we didn't have our family Thanksgiving. Those of you who've been listening to this for any length of time realize that TJ and I are family through marriage. He married my cousin. And normally Thanksgiving is the one holiday our family would all get together. And we didn't do that this year. Although, I don't think we did that last year either, did we?
I don't remember.
Anyhow, we're no longer...
What about Christmas?
Well, we go out back to Iowa. We don't, as a family at least. Last year we would have, but having the snow and ice, and I felt it was wise, and it turned out that it probably was wise with...
Yeah, you guys skipped.
With my grandmother and her husband. Yeah. That was a lot of fun for you.
That was crazy, actually. I had to rescue a couple of people just because they were stuck in the snow.
I have all-wheel drive now, that Quattro, Audi Quattro system, so I'm both anxious and not looking forward to testing it out.
I wouldn't test it out, honestly, because it's four-wheel drive, not four-wheel stop. That's what I like to tell people.
If I'm sliding, all four wheels will slide in.
Hey, I found different ways. I was out there that night. There were plenty of guys with four by four and all wheel drive
just off the side of the road.
On the side in ditches because they didn't know how to drive. So.
Well, what's funny is you talk to like my wife's family is in Iowa and I tell them about our ice and snow and they just laugh. Like her dad would be flying down the roads here on it and just fine. And you know nobody here knows what to do with once there's a little bit of white.
Out. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, since then I've gotten a new truck, which. Of course, that's 4x4 still, but...
It's a pretty heavy truck, too.
It's a big, heavy... It's bigger and heavier, and it's nicer, so I feel like driving the snow, half of it is just, like, how comfortable are you with it? And I'm not comfortable driving that thing in the snow because I'm afraid of damaging it, whereas my older truck, it was like, there's so many dents and scrapes in it, you wouldn't notice anyway, so who cares?
That's true. I notice a lot of people that drive in snow, like in Iowa, a lot of people out there that are driving around, they're driving kind of like beater trucks. Like they're big, heavy trucks, but they're also like beat up looking and they don't, you know.
Who cares? Like you're not.
They go out the side of the road, they just get something to yank them out and they keep going, you know.
So who knows? I'll probably test it a little bit just to test the 4x4, but yeah. Anyway, we haven't talked about football at all. You're going to have to cut out like the first 20 minutes of this thing. Like, no.
10. We're at 10 minutes.
10 minutes.
But
the world now. Because the power has shifted back to where it belongs.
Well, shifted is a really, really... It consumes a lot more than just one game. Yes. Yes, Arsenal won one game.
Back to normal now.
Here's what I'll tell you. You guys deserve to beat us 6-0. Like, our two goals... So, first off, Dyer's goal was great. I feel like Leno probably should have done better with
Leno, I could have done better with that. I mean, that was just terrible. I don't know what he was doing.
And I don't know why. Normally, as a fan, I tend to have the Tottenham-colored glasses when I look at kind of iffy calls.
Yeah.
But it seems like all the announcers are fine with Son's penalty, and I'm sitting there saying, dude, he dove.
It's so interesting you say that, because the first three or four times I saw the replay, I'm like, that's not a penalty, because...
Like, if he touches his foot, it's so barely.
But even then, it doesn't matter, because he already lost the ball. To me, he lost the ball before the contact was
made. Yeah, so I didn't see that being a penalty, which is why I say you should have beat us, like, 6-0. Because our two goals were both fluky.
I will say, on the penalty, though, I think it's... You know, we have the benefit of watching the replay a dozen times and thinking, okay, well, maybe there's something there. In real time, there is no way... Like, it's just such a hard call to make. And so I can see why he gave the penalty.
VAR.
Even with VAR.
I've
watched that replay probably 20 times. I'm still not 100% sure whether it is or isn't.
Yeah, not to take us in a completely different direction, just as a quick note, did you see that they're going to bring VAR in for the round of 16 for the Champions League?
Oh, really?
Yeah, for this year, they're going to bring VAR in.
For some reason, I thought VAR was already in the Champions League.
No.
I thought the EPL was like the last vestige of not...
EPL and VAR in Champions League, okay. And maybe the Europa League. Actually,
they had it
in
the World Cup, didn't they?
You would know better about the Europa League than I would. Do they have it in the Europa League?
I don't know. I don't watch the Europa League games.
What kind of Arsenal fan are you? You don't watch them playing in the Europa League?
I'm not a good Arsenal fan, what can I say? I will say, though, that was one of the best games I've seen in a long time. Was the derby.
So you got the benefit. This will be kind of a replay for you, but the game was at like 6:30 a.m.
It was at 6 a.m., Dan.
I woke up at like a little before 8.
I woke up at 5:45, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and marched down the stairs and turned it on.
That's your normal wake-up time. My normal wake-up time is like 7:30, and when it's a weekend, I like to sleep in as long as my kids will let me. So I got up at about 8 and walked out and turned the game on. So with YouTube TV, when you select a game, it pops up a little thing saying, do you want to start from live or from the beginning?
Yeah. PlayStation View is the same thing.
I haven't used it in so long, I've forgotten. But so I chose from the beginning. So it sits there and it loads, and it never loads. Like it's usually pretty quick. It's loading. Boom, pops up the game right at the end. We're losing 4-2.
Yeah.
And it's like, are you kidding me? I already know the score line. This is crap.
And
so
it's bad news.
It was like, it was like literally the 88th minute, I think. And so then I watched it and into stoppage time and finished it off, kind of hoping we might pull one back. And we looked good. I'm like, man, how did Arsenal beat us? We looked pretty good. Well, then I went back and rewatched the game, and we only looked good from about the 85th minute on while we were trying to get one goal back.
Yeah.
Anyhow, what I will say, though, is I loved me some Eric Dyer in that game. I don't like Eric Dyer as a general rule, but when he went and taunted the Arsenal fans after his header goal...
Man, the fight. Oh,
I love
broke
that.
Out too. It was great. I saw this one meme, actually.
There's like four sanctions, like two and two to each team or something.
We're going to get fined for sure on it, which is totally worth it. I saw this meme where Dele Alli had grabbed Ramsey's, but you know, his bib or whatever he was wearing in the warm-up. And the caption was, Dele Alli just wanted to see what it was like to touch an FA Cup winner. Because he doesn't know what it's like to win the FA Cup. And Ramsey's won three times.
Good. So, you keep talking about Ramsey like he's an Arsenal player, though.
He is. For now.
For now.
It's interesting, though, because... So,
he was a big part of, like, the when we went in up 2-1, the worst team.
I was looking at this. So, Aubameyang is the top goal scorer right now. And Ramsey is number one on assists. And he doesn't even start the games.
You're right about this water.
Yeah, it's like...
They need to put a new filter in over there. Yeah, Ramsey looked, I mean, Bayern. I think he'd be a great pickup for Bayern.
A couple of weeks just like toy thrilled us, right? So last time we did the podcast, Ozil was doing great, and Ramsey was like a goner. Now, fast forward a couple of weeks, Ozil looks like he's not even on the bench.
Oh, he wasn't even on the bench?
He's not even on the bench. He hasn't been on the bench for the last three games.
Oh.
Or no, he was on the bench for the game before the Tottenham game.
He's getting ready to come to MLS.
He was on the bench for the Bournemouth game, but he didn't get on. So that's where it starts, right? So it starts as, you know, Emery, you know, his explanation is, well, you know, we knew that the Bournemouth game would be really physical, and we needed to kind of play to that. Like, we didn't think that it was a good idea to have him play in such a physical game, which is, like, a pretty damning thing to say. But, like,
well, it's the EPL.
And, well, the other thing is, Bournemouth is not Stoke, you know what I mean? Or Chelsea, or, like, some of these other teams that will just go out there and do nothing but kick you the whole time. Like, they're a solid team, but they're not Stoke. They're not going to be out there, like, headbutting each other, you know? So, like, that's pretty damning to say that about Ozil. But in hindsight, what I think happened, right, I think Emery was looking to the Spurs game. And I think in his analysis of Spurs, he thought, this is the system we need to play to beat Spurs. I don't want to just roll it out with this select group of guys without having tested it. Let's test it against Bournemouth, who should be beatable. And we do beat them. And clearly, there's enough from that game to give him the confidence to say, let's play this way against Spurs.
Yeah, but you guys barely beat Bournemouth. It was 2-1, right? And it was a close-ish
but
game.
But it was kind of a different kind of setup, right? And so I think it all clicked just right, though, because then we played United today using the same system. And I think maybe we've kind of fallen on something that we think makes the best use of Aubameyang, and, you know, it gives us the security we need at the back. Now, whether he sticks with it or not, I don't know. But it just, it's interesting because you look at it and you're like, I don't know that Ozil has a future in this team. And it's happened over the course of three games. All of a sudden, it looks like he's obsolete now. And if anything, we should be trying to keep Ramsey because I think Ramsey fits it better.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that sentiment. But so, man, I had a thought. I had something I wanted to say, and I totally lost it. Oh, no.
This is why we can't do
it. No, this is why this is our last episode. Man, we should have had beers for this one. Something heavier than water and coffee.
Yeah.
Especially coffee. I'm going to be up tonight.
I think I might have some bourbon.
You always have bourbon in your desk. It might be the same bottle.
Someone gives it to me, and it sits here for 3 years, and I take one sip of it. So there's a little bit of this. I also had some Russians give me some fancy vodka, but I'm not a vodka guy. I don't get it.
Some Russians. Nice.
Yeah.
That actually has, like, Russian
From my family to yours. So it's just sat in here next to my emergency.
So they don't listen to this podcast. They'll come in Putin.
We got some paper cups. Do you want to try some of this? Sure. Have you had this? Have I given this to you before?
I don't think so. You mentioned it to me.
Check it out.
It's from, like, Washington.
Check out this bottle,
right?
Yeah.
It's the fake bottle because it has this, like, huge metal
thing. I was going to say, stick your finger in there.
Yeah, we actually talked about this on an episode, like,
probably the very
last
first
season.
Episode. Do I have any actual... I don't think I have any fancy glasses.
I'll willingly accept this, but don't feel like you have to give me that because I made the comment. I just
do it.
So I'm trying to think of what it was, because what I had to say was an interesting.
Ramsey going to Bayern. What was the other thing you said earlier?
No, that was just me being smart.
Oh, shoot.
So Arsenal looked. I know what it was. It was this. So this is when I know there's a problem. I'm a Tottenham fan.
Look at this. The cork broke off. I guess that's what happens when it sits for years in your drawer and you don't drink
it. I guess we're not getting any bourbon, or at least we'll have bourbon with floaties. That's okay. So, no, what I was going to say, we're still recording, so let's...
No, we need drinks.
We want our last...
I'm not going to listen to you like normal, and I'm going to try and figure out...
It's okay if our last podcast is a little less professional than all of our others, but...
They're like, we didn't think it was possible for these guys to be actually worse, but somehow they've gone and done it. They've outdone themselves.
So I was just going to say that as a Tottenham fan, when you go into a game and you are confident you're going to win...
You shouldn't be.
Especially against a top six team. It's usually the sign that you're going to lose.
That's right. We're still a top six team.
You are still
to be fair to you guys, you did play Chelsea and Inter and beat both of them.
Yeah.
And then had to play us. At three of those teams in 7 days, that's a tough three.
The Chelsea game seemed to be, like, I mean, I'm sure it was hard work for the guys. I can't speak to that. But it seemed to be a relatively easy game for us. It was the Inter game that probably sacked all of our energy.
Chelsea, I think, is a tough team to play.
I just think I think Dele Alli did a masterful job against Jorginho. I really think that was ultimately the whole thing.
I still don't get that. You have literally the best defensive midfielder in the world by some margin, and you're playing him out of position, so Jorginho can stand there and be a more nimble Xhaka. I mean,
yeah, sorry is kind of sorry.
Like, to me, Jorginho is like a slightly more youthful, less talented Fabregas, and they already have Fabregas.
Well, whatever, it seems to be mostly working for them as this is their first loss of the season. So
I can't wait till we play them again, honestly. So I feel like we should have beat them in the game we played them at the start of the season, and we were still trying to figure things out. Like, I genuinely think we're a better team.
I think Tottenham's a better team than Chelsea. I mean,
get crazy, Dan.
Not just based on that game either. I just think they are.
Let's not get carried away.
I also think that this Arsenal game is an anomaly, but I think that Tottenham since who did we play before Chelsea?
I'm just looking forward
since the game before Chelsea, Tottenham has started to look like the team we're supposed to be.
I'm looking forward to getting back to the good old days when you'd have your mid-table battles between Spurs, Newcastle, and Everton. That's what I'm looking forward to.
You can keep looking forward to it because right now the mid-table battles is between Arsenal, Everton, and Southampton. Oh, I think Southampton's at the bottom, aren't they? We spanked them bad. They got a new coach today, by the way.
Southampton have not looked good for a while.
No, last year they barely escaped relegation, which is crazy because Southampton was considered a pretty solidly mid-table team.
Yeah, but your Bournemouths and your Evertons have really surpassed them quite a bit. I mean, Everton.
Well,
I
Everton has spent a ton of cash. Yeah. Like they've got to eventually. Like they're kind of, they're kind of where Tottenham was.
I think 6-7 years bourbon's ago. Probably eating through the paper. You're probably not supposed to drink this out of a paper cup.
Yeah, it looks fine to me.
I don't know. It smells kind of funny. I think it's eating through the wax of the cup.
Maybe it's you. You're like, the water's bad, the bourbon's bad. Like two things that are generally considered pretty safe, water and alcohol. And you're like, that's bad. Everything's bad. Anyhow.
Don't listen to the guy that spills hollandaise sauce all over his pants in front of a VIP.
So we spanked Southampton today, which was nice, a 3-1. It was 3-0 when I turned it off. It was like at the end and I had to leave the office.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, there's like 2 minutes of stoppage time left. Okay. And apparently Charlie Austin put one in right at the very end. But
so here's the sequence of events, right? Arsenal kills Spurs. Dan gets like real butthurt about it, right? And then he's like, I think we need to stop the podcast. Then today, Arsenal throws away the United game and Spurs kill Southampton. He's like, you know, we should at least do a goodbye podcast. Like, you know, typical Spurs fair weather fan.
So if we're being honest, I actually had a discussion with my wife the day before the North London Derby when I was confident we were going to spank you guys.
And you're going to blame it on your wife now.
Secondly, today's podcast was actually your idea. I just said, you mentioned it a few days ago, and I contacted you today and said, well, do you want to just do it? And it was before the games were over today. So both of these happened before the results that
I'm
would
just
then
saying. I'm not saying this is what happened. I'm just saying this is the sequence of events.
Yeah.
One could conclude.
We started this podcast with the North London Derby where Spurs beat you guys. And we end it with the North London Derby where you beat us. So
yeah, that's why I said, like, I feel like all's right in the world.
It's come full circle.
We finally have a defensive midfielder. We finally have a striker.
Did you see? Oh, you didn't really watch the game. It was right at the end. He, like, went into Bernd Leno. Like, Leno is, like, getting the ball. He's facing him, and he still, like, slide tackles his own goalkeeper to get the ball. Torreira did. I'm looking there, and I see Bernd Leno's just, like, looking at him. Like, what are you doing, man?
I don't want to get too crazy about this, but I honestly think, I mean, it's too early to tell. I think we've got to give it a little more time. I think that Torreira might be only second to Conte as defensive midfield. Like, in terms of his effectiveness, like, it's insane when you watch him out there. I mean, he's so similar to Conte. And I actually think his passing range might be a little bit better, actually.
I mean, I've never rated Dier that highly. I like him better than Dier.
Yeah.
I still think Wanyama at his best is a really good holding midfielder. But he hasn't been at his best.
He doesn't hold a candle to Torreira. I mean, I'm thinking, you know, I mean, who are some other better defensive midfielders? I mean, Matic used to be up there, but he's kind of lost a step, I think.
Yeah, Matic looks horrible. Everybody who plays for United looks horrible, but I was watching him against you guys today. He was crappy against you guys.
Yeah.
He was solid.
He's never been real mobile, so, and I think the way the game is moving, it makes more sense that, I mean, the reason the Conte is so good is because he just covers so much ground. And the same thing you could say about Torreira. Like, it's like having two guys on the field.
I would rate probably Fernandinho higher, although he's much older. He'll be done soon.
I don't know. I don't know that Torreira's playing worse than Fernandinho. I mean, he's coming towards the end of his career, so I think it's kind of unfair to include him.
Yeah, I think Torreira has a ton of upside. I actually am sad that he's an Arsenal player, as I'm sad that you guys have Lacazette, because I like both those guys.
Yeah.
But
yeah, I have to say, in the North London Derby, I think just watching it in real time, Because I got up early enough and kind of put in the effort.
Not having it spoiled by your YouTube TV screwing
yeah,
up.
Yeah. The Aubameyang equalizer, I think, broke you guys. Because
that was such a sweet goal.
Up until that point, it seemed like you guys were still kind of holding your own, right? And being 2-1, it was like, you know, that it was, and it happened so quickly. Like, the strike just kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And, I mean, which is evidenced by the fact that Lloris just stood there and was like, what just happened? Like, I think it happened so quickly. It was so lethal that it was like, oh, man, I don't know that we're going to hold on to this. And then, you know, sure enough, you know, bring forth Juan Foyth. He, you know, made a mistake, which was shocking. Why was he even playing? Why wasn't Sanchez playing?
I think Sanchez is injured.
Oh.
The bigger question was Toby. So here was so there's lots of things. First off, before we get into that, I just want to make one statement. There is apparently a Spurs fan or maybe a section of Spurs fans that are still like idiots. And when
racist, you mean?
When Alba scored that
pretty
goal,
sure it was eating through the cup.
Yeah, it looks like it is. Mine's gone. Oh yeah, mine totally was though too.
These must be like organic cups.
This alcohol. Oh man, look at that. That right there, it's wet on the outside.
I better swig the rest of this before it spills all over me.
Yeah, drink it before it's all over your desk. Yeah, the idiots who threw the banana at Alba after his goal are just... It's one thing to hate the other team for a rivalry's sake, you know, like when I cheer for Manchester United of all teams to beat you guys. But it's another to be a horrible human being, and that I just...
I read that the guy claims he's not a racist. He just got kind of caught up in the moment.
Was he just happened to be eating a banana?
Well, that's kind of my
like,
thought.
Is that what
like,
people do in the stands, eat bananas?
Who eats bananas? You know what I mean? Like, I just don't think of Spurs fans as being like, I guess you guys are just uber healthy. Like, you're just sitting there having a kale salad and a banana for dessert.
It's not that people don't eat bananas.
Maybe that's what they serve at the Emirates. I don't know.
Oh, man.
But you just think as a general rule at European stadiums would be like, don't stock bananas.
Don't stock anything.
There's a really bad history here
racist.
With bananas. Don't do anything that could be racist.
So, yeah, I forgot. I detoured from something else to say this. What did you mention before?
Something about how great Arsenal is and how poor Spurs are.
Yeah, and I disagree. So, that said, Spurs did lose, but in the flow of results, that's kind of an acceptable loss, you know? So you guys are on a 19-game unbeaten streak right now, or is it 20 now?
20 now.
With the United?
Because we drew against United.
And we're still ahead of you. Not by a whole lot. I mean, it's neck and neck.
It is. Like, between fifth and second, it's just, there's like one or two.
What it is you guys only lost your first two games of the season.
Yep.
We lost two a little later to Watford and Liverpool. And then this loss to you guys is our third loss. The difference is we're winning all of our other games. We're not drawing any.
Well, when you look at top six opposition, right? We lost against City, but we didn't lose. We didn't get destroyed against City. We held our own. And we also lost against Chelsea. And really, we probably should have beat Chelsea. Like, we were looking really good in that game. Those were our first two games, which is kind of a tough first two games.
Yeah, it is.
You've got a new keeper. You've got Torreira, who wasn't even really kind of on the scene yet because they're trying to kind of get them acclimated to the EPL.
Did you guys draw Liverpool?
We drew against Liverpool.
Yeah.
We just drew against United, and we beat you guys. So, you know what? That's not terrible.
No.
And you got to think, if you're Chelsea or City, you're not looking forward to facing us in the next round of games. You know, because I think we play them relatively soon. Like in the next 6 weeks or so, I think we play both of them.
When you play us again for the Cup at the Emirates again,
that'll be interesting.
Yeah.
It'll be an interesting game.
That's coming up.
You guys will be wanting to get revenge, but I look at that, and again, you know, Holding got injured today, so you kind of wonder if that's a serious injury, like maybe we can't keep playing three at the back because we literally don't have the personnel. But I don't know. The three at the back I'll tell you, I think part of it was in preparation for Spurs, but it was also Monreal is injured. Right, so you got to play Klasnac. He's really a better wing back than he is a left back. So it's almost like out of necessity, you got to play this formation because otherwise you don't have a left back. But we look really good out there, really, really good. And it's weird is that you know two of your better players, Ramsey and Ozil, who have been so important previously, are almost obsolete with that formation. So I almost wonder it's like a power play from memory where it's like you got two of these guys that are maybe two of your highest paid players, and they're kind of you know. Maybe playing some sort of mind games. And he's like, well, I don't need either one of you.
I think he is. I think that's smart, too. I mean, if he can get results without them, then why not save the bucks, sell them, make some money on them, buy some more players that fit. I mean, that's kind of what Poch did.
Yeah.
You know, he got rid of the was it Sherwood or AV? It was AVB. When Villas-Boas bought like all the Bale replacement players, he got rid of all of them, but like Eriksson and
got rid of Sigurdsson too.
He got rid of Holtby, Sigurdsson, Paulinho.
There were some defenders you got in there too. You got rid of
and Soldado.
Soldado, who could forget that?
Man, donkey. He was a star. He's still a really big fan of Tottenham, and like Tottenham fans all love him, even though we all say he sucks. We just love him.
That's the legacy you guys have. I mean, we have Bergkamp and Henri and the Invincibles, and you have Soldado. He's just a really nice bloke.
Side note, so real quick before I go into this too, because I like to detract myself from what I'm gonna say.
We don't really have an agenda here.
We have no show notes.
We're just, can you tell?
This is the last episode. We're just kind of winging it. So if this is your most favorite episode, good for you. But
gold star for you. Everyone gets a gold star. Everyone. Stars. You get a gold star, and you get a gold star.
30 minutes in, we're giving away the gold star.
Gold stars for everybody.
But
Brandon's like sitting here. He's like, I can just see it now. He's in his car tomorrow driving to work. Just our most loyal fan.
He's probably got like 100 other things that he would rather be doing. He's just being nice.
He's like, great, now I can go back to listening to Gary Vee.
But it was ESPN FC. They were talking about Arjen Robben, right? Totally off subject now. But a couple of the names you brought up. They were saying, you know, is he perhaps one of the greatest Dutch players of all time? And I'm sitting there thinking, yeah, he's pretty good. And then they start naming off Dutch players. I'm like, man, no.
I don't know if he's in the top 10.
You know, that was where the argument ended up. It's like, well, is he top 10? And he's like, yeah, I think they're top 10. So they keep naming them off. And they're like,
I don't
like,
think so.
Oh, maybe not. You know, you got Cruyff and Bergkamp and
Hulit, Van Basten. Freaking Van Basten. Yeah. Van Nistelrooy. Bergkamp. There's five right there that I'm not even trying.
Yeah.
Yap Stam, he's probably ahead of him.
So it's funny because like
they have so many players.
They've had like, but in the last 10 years they haven't had a whole lot of talent.
Been crap.
I mean, Van Persie was Dutch, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. And he was pretty good.
I don't even know you can put Van Persie ahead of Robin.
Yeah, no, that's what I was gonna say. He would be probably the only one in recent times that could compete with Robin in the recent 10 years.
Yeah.
But before that, there was a ton of greats that I just didn't realize. I never stopped to think, what country did they come from?
Kluivert was really good. I'd say he's probably still ahead of Robin. I mean, they were really successful, too.
Yeah.
Those guys were successful both. I mean, they were successful in their youth. You know, a lot of those guys were in the Ajax teams that won the European Championship. So before they even transferred to the Barca's and AC Milan's of the world, like, they were already successful. So Robin can't hold a candle to these guys, really.
So let me do my favorite thing and get all American on you for a second. So Christian Pulisic is, along with your good friend Aaron Ramsey, are both pretty strongly linked to Bayern right now. Although Pulisic is also strongly linked to Chelsea, and it's actually a fairly substantiated link. Like,
well, you could see him as a good replacement for Hazard.
Yeah, but the thing is Chelsea doesn't want to pay. I think it's like $70 million that they're asking for.
They may not care if they just get paid $200 million for Hazard.
Yeah. But that said, Bayern is like in a complete rebuilding phase. And it's hard to know what to believe because you hear a different thing all the time. But there was an actual quote from, I think it was Rummenigge, about Bayern is going to be willing to open up the wallet this year and basically replace the team. Which is, I mean, I got to be honest. I think Serge Gnabry is a talented player, but he's also youthful and... I just think that if he is probably the best player on the team, there needs to be a refresh. Not because he's bad, but Bayern.
I mean, it's just you've got guys like Mueller who've kind of lost their way.
And Lewandowski doesn't look nearly as good.
Like, and he's getting up in age.
Dropped a few steps this year, yeah.
So, I mean, you probably need a new center forward. I don't know that Gnabry and Coman are really good enough replacements for Ribery and Robin.
Yeah.
But you still have Thiago in there, who's honestly one of the best midfielders, center midfielders.
Goretzka hasn't looked that great comparatively. He hasn't been bad.
Goretzka's probably an impact of just overall they're not playing well as a team.
Well, and he was a free pickup too, so it didn't really cost him. Yeah. I mean, the thing is a lot of these players would be great in many teams. It's just we're talking about Bayern. You know, they're in Germany, at least, they're held to the same level as Real Madrid and Barcelona are held in Spain. They're considered the team that nobody can beat. And yet, for whatever reason, they're like fifth in the table right now. And they're getting beat all the time. That said, as an American, Pulisic isn't getting into the Dortmund team right now. He got injured.
That's what I was going to say. He got replaced. Pulisic, he was Jadon Sancho's boot cleaner.
Well, I think Sancho's been playing the opposite wing. But that said, but yeah.
He's been kind of the flavor of the month.
He's right? been replaced. I mean, when Marco Reus was out, Pulisic, that was when he got his big start, when Reus was injured. And then he stayed in, and they kind of moved things around to get Reus and him in. And then Sancho started looking good. So as a American, I kind of am excited for Pulisic to move on so that he can get back into a lineup. And I actually think... So
the question is, would it be better going to Bayern or Chelsea?
Bayern. Because I think Bayern actually needs him. Chelsea would be, you know, once again, maybe replacing Hazard, but I don't think that he would be a for sure starter at Chelsea. I think he's more of a for sure starter with Ribery and Robin leaving at Bayern. So I could be wrong, but that's just kind of how
I think. Well, the Bundesliga is probably a safer option for him, honestly, because EPL is a tough league to transfer to.
Yeah.
I think he probably needs a little more time before he's pretty young.
20, yeah.
Yeah, you want to wait until you're maybe 23 or 24 before you make that leap. I mean, that's probably how old was Son when he moved to Spurs, probably 23, 24 at least.
Yeah, I think so.
And it took him 2 or 3 years to kind of acclimate to EPL, and now everyone's singing his praises. But, I mean, he was like the golden boy in the Bundesliga. So, I mean, you want to make sure that you're ready to make that
transition. Did we even talk about the game? I mean, you and I always talk about games, but did we... The game previous to Arsenal, who did we... Oh, it was a Chelsea game. Did we even talk about Son's goal in that game?
I don't know that I even saw it.
Where
I'm not a very
Ali pops it down the line to him.
Oh yeah, yeah. And he just flies runs down by the wing, everybody.
And then he cuts back, and David Luiz is it's seriously Sancho like
Bob is just like, where the heck is he?
Well, it's like when you're looking at your window and you're driving down the freeway at like 70 miles an hour, and there's like a post. It's just like he goes like Luiz is just there, and then he's gone, and like Son,
I think, is hugely underrated. In fact, I was talking to Brandon today, and he was like, I hope Real Madrid buys him. And I'm like, I don't know. I don't see Real. Real doesn't go for it.
What? Screw Real Madrid. Leave us alone. But,
you know, it's interesting that you have a Real Madrid fan who's like, I'd love to have Son, right? Usually it's like Harry Kane or Dele Alli or, you know, Son is who he's thinking.
Well, I think that Tottenham, I think we are in kind of a lucky, blessed generation of, I mean, considering we didn't splash a lot of cash for the talent we have, and then to see, like Harry Kane's homegrown. Dele Alli was bought at a young age from, was it NK Dons, I think?
For $5 million or something.
For some ridiculous. Nothing. Son was brought over from Germany. He was a little bit more of a known quantity, but he was still young and fresh. Eriksen was straight from Ajax. He was a bit of a known quantity, but not tested at the higher levels yet.
Well, you also hadn't paid that much for Eriksen.
No.
Right, Son's probably the most expensive at like 20-something.
And all of these players are now considered players that could play for the best teams and potentially start for the best teams in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, there isn't a team where, you know, maybe City, where Eriksen doesn't get into the starting lineup. There isn't a team where Kane doesn't get into the starting lineup. Maybe a little more so for Ali, although I feel like he's underrated. I feel like his movement makes him superior to a lot of people.
So, I mean, it's pretty clear Spurs aren't going to win the title this year, but you're to make that next leap, right? I think they're definitely top four talent, right? And I think what's hard for Spurs is in previous generations, they would be winning the league, but the EPL overall has gotten so much better that you have a team that's 6th, 7th, or 8th that could compete the Champions League, right? Even if they can't get in, they could compete in the Champions League talent-wise.
The first year we made the Champions League in this run, we did a couple times with like Redknapp and so forth, but in this run, the first time we made the Champions League was 4 years ago, right? And Chelsea, I think Chelsea won the league, and we were in third.
Was that Conte's? Or no, Mourinho.
Were we in second? We ended up getting third the year Leicester won. You guys pipped us on the last day. But anyhow...
you guys didn't start getting more points until just recently.
We've been getting more points than the first 2 years. If these last couple years, if we had the same amount of points, we would have won the league both those years. It's just there's a bigger disparity between the top. Yeah, and that's mostly what you're saying. But
But I guess my question is, so I think there's no debate. They're not winning the league this year, but, and they're probably not going to win anything this year because that's kind of the Spursy sort of way. But to take from where you guys are today.
Am I supposed to answer this seriously?
To after winning the title. Like, what does Spurs need to do to win the title?
I mean,
maybe spend some money.
The natural answer is spend City kind of money.
Have but a home even, stadium.
Well, here's what I'll say. Even City spent hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars before they got to the point where they're still spending hundreds of millions of dollars.
But then again, United spent just as much money, and look where they're at.
Right. Well, and I think the manager has a lot to do with that. Yeah. I think Tottenham, we're pretty fortunate that we have a really good manager.
Their money very well, but yeah.
Well, the manager usually has a say in that. I honestly think that it's that people are forgetting that we're actually playing 100% away games. Because while we are more comfortable at Wembley, and so it's more like a home stadium for us, it's still not a home stadium.
So you think you don't spend any money next year at a home stadium? Because here's the thing.
Well, see, here's the thing is even when the new White Hart Lane's done, it's not going to feel like home for a couple of years.
We had the same thing for years. Like, the Emirates is only now kind of starting to feel like it's home.
Yeah, and so I mean, let's say best case scenario, there's a year to break in the new stadium. So, I mean, I still think we're a couple years off from getting the full effect, not from the players, but the full effectiveness from our environment. And I think we're suffering because...
Yeah, but you're not going to make it then.
What do you mean?
The next 2 or 3 years, if it takes another 2 or 3 years to get to the point where you guys can realistically challenge for the title, your guys aren't going to be here that long. Sun's gone. Ali's gone. Erickson's gone.
The goal
maybe
is,
hold on the cane.
The goal is that we make a lot of money and it's invested wisely in more players like, say, Sanchez or, well, he's pretty much the only recent example.
Juan Foyth. Come on, Juan Foyth.
Hey, Foyth is still super young. He can he's got a lot
and
of
he's
talent.
He's looked pretty decent in recent games.
Yeah, I mean, he's looked great. He's made
except
a,
when he came up against Aaron Ramsey.
It's just when he makes errors, he really makes errors. Yeah. They're really bad ones. So once he gets those worked out, he'll be pretty solid, but... Yeah, I mean, at some point, all players leave. I mean, it's not like you look at City and say City's going to drop because they lose players, because you fully expect them to invest and buy the next level of talent.
Except Spurs doesn't usually invest.
And that's the bigger question is, what is Spurs going to do? I think we remain relevant. I don't think we compete for the title for a while. I would love it. I think but I've said this for the last like 4 years, is that I don't think we're going to get back to where we are. And yet we have. So, I mean, I was listening to, what was it? What was I listening to? Oh, the Fighting Cock guy interviewed a former Spurs legend that I was actually unfamiliar with because he was back before I was into football.
Sure.
Anyhow, he was from some African nation.
Asoakato?
No. I was in, Adebayor. I wouldn't call him a legend. Neither one of those guys. Anyhow, this guy was talking about when he played with Jermaine Defoe as a 19-year-old. So that's to date how far back this was when Jermaine Defoe was a kid. This guy was
African players that played back then.
I could probably look it up. But that said, he made a really interesting comment that I think Spurs fans need to keep putting things in perspective, right?
Shaka Hislop?
He was never a Tottenham player.
I'm just trying to think of your legends.
Okay, ready? Fighting
Cack?
Is it thefightingcock.com?
I don't know.
Oh, maybe you it's should, .co. You
should,
.uk.
You should Google, like, Fighting Cock Soccer Podcast.
So I don't find something
before
I don't
want to see. My router here gets flagged as, like, looking up something it shouldn't at work.
Mido.
Mido?
Do you know who Mido is?
Yeah, the Egyptian guy?
Yeah, he was Egyptian. That's what it was. That's
no.
The...
Yeah.
I don't know
he's
how
a
much
legend,
of,
huh?
Well, all I know is
wowee, Dan.
Is that Flab, the main guy on this podcast, he actually starts off the podcast by describing how he interviews stars all the time. And for whatever reason, sitting with Mido made him nervous. And
Mido,
he never gets nervous.
If memory serves, he was kind of the Egyptian Zlatan. Like, he had kind of the same personality, but none of the talent.
He actually talks about being friends with Zlatan.
See? That doesn't surprise me.
So
he's kind of arrogant like Zlatan, but didn't have the
but
talent.
But the comment he made, the whole reason I'm talking about this, the comment that he made was that for a club of the fact that Tottenham has arrived into the bigger teams is a major accomplishment. Because before, only a few years ago, hanging on to the likes of Eriksen, re-signing Ali to a 5-year deal, re-signing Kane to a 5-year deal or 4-year deal or whatever, like those would have been considered coups only 3 years ago. So,
I'm sorry.
What?
I just like wikied Mido, And I don't even know how to say his name. So, to be fair to you guys, you loaned him from Roma in 2005, and he scored 13 goals in 36 appearances. So, he's kind of a poor man's Giroud. Then you made it permanent, and he scored one goal in 12 games.
And then
moved to Middlesbrough.
He ended up getting injured. He talks about this, too. He was actually...
He's like a better-looking Soldado.
Is he? I know nothing other than this podcast about him.
But he's a legend.
Well...
Championship Manager, this guy is a legend. Like, in the Championship Manager game, you know how that game will typically predict certain players to turn into Messi? He was one of those guys in like, 2003 or something in Championship Manager that turned out really good. So that's why I actually know who he is, because he was like, oh, you got to get this guy in Championship Manager.
Mm. Anyway. Anyhow, the whole point of bringing him up was that comment. Yes, for Spurs fans, we want to be considered in the same... We actually want to be considered greater than Arsenal, of course. But we want to be considered in the same realm...
Long, long way to go, buddy.
In the same realm as these other big top teams. And we are, in a lot of ways. But we're new to this. And we need to kind of not forget where we came from. And the fact that we were able to hang on to, like, Eriksen, who was rumored to leave. And even Poch, who was supposed to go to Madrid. Like, the fact we were able to keep these people from leaving for bigger and better things, quote-unquote... is a sign of where we're at. So, yes, we didn't sign any players, and yes, that should probably not have been, but it can't be understated how important it was to hang on to the talent we had.
Yeah, no, I think you're right. My prediction is, if Levy doesn't open the checkbook this summer, Poch is gone.
Yeah, I'm actually surprised he's still here.
Real's getting desperate. Like, this is going to be the worst season they've had in a long time. And they're going to go crazy in the offseason. And a big part of that is getting their manager in. You can't tell me they're going to give Solari the checkbook. I just don't see it.
The problem with them going crazy is if they buy Poch, they might buy Kane. They might buy Eriksen.
Yeah, like, I can see them buying Poch, Kane, Eriksen, and
Hazard all in the same summer.
I can totally see it. Yeah. Now, you might get Isco back.
Well, I mean, PSG's already, you know, set. They've already set the example that you'll just get a slap on the wrist from... financial fair play if you break the rules. So,
well, and to add to that, you might be delighted to know that Mourinho will probably jump in and give you 50-60 million for Dyer.
I would love to get rid of Dyer. Who would?
Mourinho. Mourinho's a big Dyer fan. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. Well,
he seems like your classic.
Isn't
Mourinho.
He like married to Mourinho's like stepdaughter or something, or cousin, or?
It wouldn't surprise me because he spent a lot of time in Portugal.
Yeah, he speaks Portuguese. And I think he's married or somehow connected through marriage to Mourinho.
Hmm.
I think I could be totally wrong, and I'm making up a false rumor right now.
Eric Dyer's like, no, but can you introduce me? She's kind of cute.
I don't know that he wants to marry somebody who throws him under the bus all the time.
Yeah, there's nothing in here. Not in Wikipedia.
So we're nearing the 50-minute mark here for our last podcast. So what should we do with the last 10 minutes since we have no show notes and no direction?
I don't know. Give him a rest already and say, sorry we made you listen as long as you did. Eric Dyer girlfriend, is the England World Cup star single? ? Love life ... in express.co.uk. / showbiz and TV.
The Express, isn't that like the National Enquirer of London? Is Express legitimate?
We have a lot of National Enquirers in Great Britain.
Pretty much if it's not The Guardian, I have a hard time knowing whether I should take stock in it or not.
Yeah. The vast majority of newspapers over there look like the National Enquirer. They're slightly better than the National Enquirer, but they're always fun to read.
Well, it was less about how they look and more about how legit is the content they're providing.
Yeah.
Like The Sun. Actually, doesn't The Sun own the Facebook channel I love, the funny guys?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think they do.
They're connected to The Sun, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Did you watch the one I sent you about how Spurs fans feel after how Arsenal fans are treating Spurs fans or whatever after the loss? It starts off with they grab their team and they wear the jerseys for him to represent. So he's doing like pull ups on a bar, and the Arsenal guy runs by and pulls his pants down, and then like he walks into his room and there's like these photos of Ian Wright like in this like nude photo shoot like plastered like
no it wasn't Ian Wright, it was Sol Campbell.
Oh, was that Sol? That's even worse.
That's why it's so bad. Yeah, what's interesting too is because like it literally is like a nude shoot. Like I don't know where they found that photo. What was Sol thinking? Like it looks like he's kind of standing there looking over his shoulder. It's like a black and white shot, and you can totally see his buns. Like, I'm like, what in the world? Sol Gamble.
Anyhow, that's a good one. That's a good mental image to leave this. Leave this.
I think dynasty. What better image to leave the death of crossing the Thames than Sol Campbell in a black and white photo shoot with his buns out.
With his buns out.
Maybe we should just leave it there.
We should title this our last episode with our buns out.
No, just Sol's buns are out. So that was that.
I have nothing else to say.
Yeah, I don't either.
I mean,
I'm surprised that we kept it going.
We could talk about Greg Berhalter.
Who?
The new USA coach.
Oh my gosh.
Former Columbus Crew coach.
Sacker.
I think he was like a USA legend once.
What is a Columbus Crew? Are they like a bunch of like polo shirts?
They were a construction crew. That's like their logo has guys with little construction hats and stuff. I mean, it's silly, but if you think about English teams and stuff, it's not that different. I mean, what's an MK Don? Martin Keene's Don? Like, what does all this stuff mean?
I could be totally wrong about this, but I want to say MK Dons used to be Wimbledon, which was the team that Robbie Earle
AFC played Wimbledon's for. Still around.
I think it was one of those scenarios where, like, they had a split.
Still, there's all of these.
I'm kind of totally making that up, but I'm going to look it up.
Well, Dons, maybe it's Wimbledon's. I don't know. But the thing is like English football likes to make fun of Americans for our names, which are ridiculous. I agree, but theirs aren't any better. I mean, once again, I reference the Gunners, the Red Devils,
the Wanderers. That's my favorite one. They have like a perfectly good name because they're from Wolverhampton. It should be Wolverhampton Wolves, and they're like, I know, let's call ourselves the Wanderers.
Wait, what is
Bolton? We're a bunch of lost people.
What is Bolton? Aren't they?
Wanderers.
They're Wanderers too.
Like, it was such a good name that someone else grabbed it too. So
I still think Full America is
what MK Dons was founded in 2004 following Wimbledon FC's controversial relocation to Milton Keynes from South London when it adopted its present name, badge, and home colors. So they were the original Wimbledon. Yeah. And so I guess maybe there's another Wimbledon FC. Am I reading that correctly? I don't even know. I'm so confused now. I don't even know. But Robbie Earle was in there breaking legs. And the second coming of Robbie Earle with Dele Alli.
Okay.
Dele Alli's a lot better than Robbie Earle was.
I don't... Other than him being on NBC, I don't really know Robbie Earle. I don't know his playing career.
He was a brute when he was out there. Yeah. So there you have it, folks.
I think we ran out of gas.
I think we did. Stranded
this on is why we. This is why we.
We're
take
stranded
notes.
At Milton Keynes Dons FC. And you wanted to talk about the whole Boca River Plate final thing, but
like, we just don't know enough.
One cares about that.
Honestly. Apparently, a lot of people care about that. Well, it's like one of those things. It's like a really big deal worldwide because of
like down in Argentina
the rivalry. Yeah. Well, like to people who are like cultured with football, like more than just one area or two areas. It's considered one of the biggest rivalries. I mean, the North London Derby is...
But nobody watches it.
Not even on the same level for some people.
I mean, I guess there's a lot of talented guys that come through those teams that end up in Europe. So, yeah, you're right. For those who are, like, really addicted to soccer and is like, I got to get more, then yeah, maybe you watch...
That. Or you could get ESPN Plus. You can get ESPN Plus and watch League One games, League Two games, and championship games. Like football, English Football League.
I was going to say, you're watching the third tier of Argentinian football?
You can. No, not Argentinian.
That's what I thought we were talking about Argentinian football.
Well, who wants to watch third tier English unless you have like a team that's been relegated a couple times?
Well,
like if you're a Villa fan, that might be worth
it. Maybe you like watching guys get beat up all the time. I mean, it gets pretty rough once you get further down the good old traditional English football.
See,
kick them in the shins.
See, I think that there's this misunderstanding that American football is so bad that like we might fit in the championship, maybe less.
I think that's fair.
I actually disagree. I think that the top half of MLS could stick relegation zone or higher in the actual EPL. I actually think Atlanta United could be mid table EPL.
Okay.
I mean obviously that's just opinion. There's no way to really prove that out. But I would love to see. Some kind of a, like...
Well, you know, if it's league. Like... It's almost like if you had a podcast and a following, you could kind of put it out there and have like this survey where people could come back and tell you whether how wrong you are. But yeah, I guess you'd have to put all this time and effort into, you know, setting up the mic and figuring out how to do the audio.
Who wants to start a podcast anyhow?
Did we ever really get the audio right?
It's a lot better. I do it, my business podcast, I actually, the audio is great, but I also have a special mic and a special setup for it. For this, considering we're in a big, horrible recording room, and we have a decent mic,
let me tell you something.
Great, we're okay.
It's better than your office, okay, Mr. Air Compressor in the hallway.
Did you actually listen to that episode? Because my voice was great the whole time because I was using my mic.
Oh, okay.
Your voice was fine, like no different than here. And the air compressor it was like very, very small at one point, and it was more obvious because you and I laughed about it than because it. I mean, you could hear it.
I'm just fitting my office, okay? Because I finally switched out the light bulbs, and now it's kind of bright in here. It feels like an actual office again. Okay.
No, your office is fine. It's just acoustically horrible for podcasts. You have wood and then wall behind it. You have high ceilings, like. We would be in a insane room, you know.
For anyone who's wondering, it's the corner office. Okay, it's the big office.
It is a corner office.
It's the big office in the building.
You know, I wanted this office for so many years.
I'm like a really big deal, okay?
You are. I wanted this for so many years, and instead drifted around downstairs and in the closet upstairs here. And then when I finally left, it was like a couple years later, and you got the office I wanted all that time. I was doing it for 13 years. I was trying to get the, 10 years. I was trying to get this office.
Yeah, I don't know. It's not to be ungrateful. It's a nice office. But honestly, spend so much time in front of a screen. Baddest. It's like, doesn't matter where you are. Like, the office is not more any more comfortable than anywhere else used to sit.
Yeah. Actually, I liked my office down below with the coffee painted wall.
I don't think I could sit down there. Honestly, yeah. I think I'd rather sit under the stairs and sit there just because it's so dark.
That was true. It was always very dark.
I'd have to put in like some major lighting improvements. Yeah.
I should have, but it also relaxed.
I actually kind of miss my old office on the other side, that corner office.
Oh, back up over there. Mm-hmm. You know when that was my favorite. When I had the what's now the huddle workspace, when I had the office in there, I kind of liked the little room. I had like a window and.
Have you seen it since they renovated in there?
Huddle. I've seen the pictures. Yeah.
Yeah. Your old office is like, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Cool.
Anyway.
Well, let's end this one short of an hour.
We're letting you guys off, you lucky dogs.
58 minutes, we're pretty close.
The last like 20 of it was completely useless.
Brandon, this is your final gold star. I mean, you already got it, but.
You got several on this one.
Put this on your list. You got an A+ for our class. And
Don't cry, little buddy. It'll be okay.
We've enjoyed doing this for you guys.
It's been nice getting to know you, Brad, and your thoughts about numbers and the universe, string theory, and everything else that
we never did have Brad and Jamie on.
We didn't.
We got them all like actually like, ready to do it, and
it was
now
like
we're
the threat of having these Australian guys on the podcast just about killed it.
So. Yeah, seriously. All right. Take care, guys. Adios.